is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Inspire them with the vision of your kingdom. Give them the words they need to spread the gospel. Allow them to experience joy in their ministry. Help them to become instruments of your divine grace. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen. Welcome, Father Mike Kuchar, today from the Batesville Deanery and St. Joseph Parish in Shelbyville, and also St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Shelby County, a beautiful country church out that you can see from I-74. I'm Gordon Smith, and I'm co-hosting today with Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you.
And welcome, Father. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. I'm doing pretty well. It's a nice sunny day, so thanks be to God. It seems like spring has finally come.
So, Father Kuchar, you are, in addition to all the things that we just mentioned, you are also involved in recruiting and encouraging new priests, aren't you? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'm the vocation director of the Archdiocese as of, gosh, I think it's been 2 years. It was kind of odd because it started right around the same time that COVID did. So vocation recruitment work kind of began to look a little different around the whole world when that all happened. But that's kind of right as I was coming on board in this role. And as you said, that's my one of my big jobs is to try to walk with young people as they are trying to kind of grapple with what does God want from me? You know, what is my call? What did God make me for? And that's always, I always find it very life-giving work because I get to talk to so many, especially young folks who are really like on fire for their faith. They're on fire for Christ, and all they want is to do God's will and to figure out what that is. And so, I get to walk with those guys and young women too, as they're trying to grapple with, is God calling me to religious life and all that sort of thing. And so it's really a beautiful thing. We do a lot of programs. We do a lot of events in the Office of Vocations that maybe we'll have time to talk about here. Not sure, but it's a lot of life-giving work, and it's all about how to help these young people to pray through, discern what is it that God is calling me to? What is my vocation?
So we have named this program the Sons of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a character in the Bible from the Old Testament and also mentioned in the New Testament. Who was Melchizedek? Just as the inaugural program here of this series, we want to know, who is Melchizedek?
Yeah, he's a bit of a mysterious figure. We don't know a lot about him, although, as you say, his name is mentioned in Genesis, I think chapter 14. He's also mentioned in one of the Psalms, I think 104. He's also mentioned in the book of Hebrews, the letter of the Hebrews. We do know that he was the king of a place called Salem, and we know that his name means king of righteousness. We know that he was a good and holy man, and the scripture talks about how he did what we priests still do, which is we make an offering of bread and wine. And above and beyond that, I really don't know. And maybe others know more about him, but I do remember my first year in the seminary, the rector, Father Dennis Robinson, he gave a rector's conference, and he kind of talked about the mysteriousness of this figure and how really that points to the mysteriousness of the priesthood in general. I mean, to this day, it's such a gift to our church. I always tell people we need to have not just a dedication or a devotion to a particular priest, but we need to have a devotion to the priesthood. I mean, this is such a gift to the church, and there is a mystery about it, right? It's just there's a mystery with all sacred things, and so I don't know if that answers your question. I'm sure there are scholars who know a lot more about him, but that's about all I know.
Well, thank you, Father, and you've given us a very good explanation, but also a lot of fuel to dig into this a little deeper with the next guests that come in this program series going forward.
Yeah, Father, I'm curious, how long have you been a priest, and tell us a little bit about some of your past assignments to bring you up to where you're at now.
Sure, yeah. I started in June. I was ordained on June 6, 2015, which was hard to believe. That's, oh my gosh, almost, 7 years now? I don't know. Or 6 years? I it's just crazy how fast it goes, like, and how beautiful it is. It really is a beautiful life. My first assignment was at Our Lady of the Greenwood. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful parish on the south side of Indianapolis, 335 Meridian Street. They have seen a lot of priests. That's kind of like a training ground. Mm-hmm. They always look for good, healthy, beautiful parishes to kind of put the new priests. And I think they've had a new priest for I don't know how long, but they laugh there. One of the parishioners there, she tells me, "We get you guys, we fall in love with you, and then they yank you away." And that's I was there for only 2 years, but it was beautiful 2 years. And so then, as soon as that was over, I was it was right before Archbishop Thompson came on the scene, and so I was actually appointed the administrator here in Shelbyville by Monsignor Stumps, who at the time was kind of the temporary administrator of the diocese. And he put me here, and I've been here ever since. I've done a few other little things along the way. I taught at Marion University for a semester, which I loved. I love doing it. It's just such a long drive, and it just got to be a little too much on top of everything else that I'm doing. I became the vocation director 2 years ago. I became the dean, I think, 4 years ago. So there's 19 parishes in this deanery. And so the dean's job is to kind of bring the priests and religious together once a month, and kind of make sure that as a deanery we do certain activities, we do certain things, programming wise, and all that. So that's kind of been my life in the last 6 years.
You're listening to a special edition of Faith in Action called Sons of Melchizedek, and we're talking with our guest, Father Mike Kuchar, who is a wonderful priest and our first guest of this show. And I want to ask you, why did you or when did you have the sense that you were being called to be a priest?
Yeah, I think I first kind of wondered about it when I was a little kiddo. I do remember playing priest as a little kid. My brother and I got one brother, and he's 2 years older than I am, and we would kind of take turns being priests.
Mm-hmm.
As little kids, put blankets on, get our G.I. Joes, our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and all them out there. They're all Catholics, and they came to our mass. And we would take grape juice and make that the wine. We would take, I think that was graham cracker or vanilla wafers sometimes as the host. But whoever's turn it was to be the priest got to be the priest. The other one was the server. And it was just, we did that like every week when we were tiny little kids. And in second grade, I always kind of point to that as an important moment, because that's when we got a new priest where I was from. And good priests make all the difference. And,
sure,
and
sure.
This was Father Charlie Chesborough. And he came on the scene, and we all just thought the world of this guy. And he was the priest there for over 12 years. And that first year was my second grade year, and I remember one of my good friends, his dad died, and I just kind of remember, like, none of us really knew what to do and how to kind of deal with that. But I remember him, Father Charlie, coming to our classroom. I still remember where I sat in that classroom. And I remember just like, okay, Father Charlie's here. It's going to be all right. You know, like, my priest is here and everything is going to be fine. And he walked us through, prayed with us and all that. But I just remember kind of thinking, as I was a little kid, like, the difference that that man made and was making. And I thought about that a lot as I grew up. But I really kind of dismissed the idea once I discovered girls, mm-hmm. you know, and I really fought it because I liked girls and because I wanted to get married one day, that meant I wasn't supposed to be a priest. But God kept working. God kept working on me. And a big moment happened when I was at confirmation retreat at St. Minor. I was a junior in high school, and I just remember kind of we had some time to ourselves to do whatever. So I went out for a little walk. It was snow, and it was January. And I just remember kind of like, well, I remember getting lost for one thing. But then I remember, it was my first time in St. Minor, huge place. And I just remember looking up to the heavens, and the sun hit my face. And I just had this sense. I didn't see a vision or hear a voice, but I just had this sense, you're supposed to be a priest. And that just scared me, but it was at the same time a moment where I felt so much the presence of God and the love of God and just this peace that transcends words, you know? And so I kind of point to some of those moments as big moments and just real quick to kind of sum up, I guess I had that experience and I thought I was supposed to be a priest, but I was afraid. And so I always tell people I went to IU because I thought if any place could kill a vocation, it would be IU.
Yeah, and, I went there too.
but God had different plans, and he surrounded me with good, holy people and the call kept getting stronger and stronger. So when I was done, after changing my major three times, from business to informatics and then finally to English, I just kind of thought, you know what? I just need to do it. Man up, go to seminary. That's what I did. I'm so glad I did.
Oh, we are too. We're so happy that you're a priest. And that's a great story, from second grade to confirmation to IU. Certainly a great walk there. Tell us a little bit about life as a priest. Do you get lonely? What's life like in a rectory?
I generally stay so busy I don't have time to feel. I love being a priest. I love bringing God to people and people to God. I find it very fulfilling. I think most priests would say that. There's a world that is desperately hungry and they don't even know what they're hungry for. And I think a big part of what the priest does, just by his very presence, he brings God, you know. And I often think, like, when I go anywhere and people see the collar, they think of God. But in very intentional ways, I'm trying my best to bring God wherever I go and to bring the message of the gospel. Jesus took those first apostles and he said, go teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, and Jesus wants this message, the message of his love, the message of his kingdom, to come everywhere. And so I try, and I just love it because never is one day like another day. I mean, there are certain things that are the same every day. My morning holy hour, my office, the office of the liturgy of the hours is what I mean by the divine office. I do mass every day, but like so much stuff just happens and you just kind of know that God is behind all of it. And so I just love being a priest and I think the world needs more and more of them.
We need to take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Father Mike Kuchar and on this new program, Sons of Melchizedek. So stay tuned for more.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. tell them about Catholic Radio Indy. An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to a special edition of Faith in Action called Sons of Melchizedek, where we are interviewing priests that are holy and awesome. And our first guest today, we've been talking with...
What am I doing on here?
Yeah, yeah. We've been talking with Father Mike Kuchar, and he is a pastor at St. Joseph in Shelbyville, as well as the vocations director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I want to ask you about your upbringing and the role your parents played in raising you Catholic. I'm guessing you were raised Catholic. Is that true?
That is true, and you're right. I mean, that makes all the difference in the world to have good parents. And I grew up with a wonderful mother and a wonderful father, and we always went to Mass. It was no question. Like, we went to 8 o'clock Mass every single weekend. I probably have missed only one or two Sunday Masses my whole life. It was not even something we talked about. We went, and when we went on vacation, we found a place to go. But not only that, like, my mom and my dad were so involved in the parish. Like, Dad was the parish. He was on parish council. He was the finance chair for many years. He works tirelessly with St. Vincent de Paul. Just all these different things. Mom worked at the school. Mom planned fundraisers and worked endless hours. And so what I learned from all of this was that we need to be generous with God, and we need to be generous with the church, and which is his body, and not just with, you know, money, but like with our time, with our talents, which I saw my parents give endlessly of those things. And that, I think, it wasn't that strange of a leap to go like, yeah, I could give my life to God as a priest, you know, because I've seen my parents be so generous in raising me and so faithful in doing that.
And what parish was that, Father?
St. Charles Borromeo in Bloomington, Indiana.
Father Mike, I'm asking about your... you had an experience with Mary that you shared. I just happened to be at a retreat at Our Lady of Grace. I was a speaker. You were a speaker, and I happened to pop into your talk, and you were talking about Mary, and you shared a really beautiful story about how the Mother of God was very instrumental in your coming to the priesthood.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell that story. It's so awesome.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Bridget, because it was a moment of, I think Our Lady has... had her mantle wrapped around me from the very beginning, and I think it was a beautiful moment where I was my first year of seminary at St. Minor, and I remember it was a weekend, and I was like, ah, this is terrible, and I was early on in my time. I came to love seminary. I really, really loved seminary, and I miss it in a lot of ways, but I was so new to it, and I thought, I don't know that I fit here. Like, I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough, and you know, the devil plays those games. And so one day I thought, you know, it was a weekend. You're supposed to let your dean know if you're leaving the campus for any reason. I was like, you know what, I'm leaving. And I didn't even let him know. And I just thought, I don't know where I'm going. I know, I'll go to Bardstown. And I had never been to Bardstown, so I thought it'd be kind of cool to check that out. And so I'm going on my way, and I thought, you know what, I should stop and go to Mass. And so I pull out my phone. It was a BlackBerry. That shows what year it was. It was 2009, my first year of seminary. And I was looking to see what time Mass was nearby New Albany, and there was a Mass time at the Franciscan place, Mount St. Francis. And I had never been there before. I thought, oh, check that out. So I get up there, and I go into, I find the church, and I walk in, and there's nobody there. And it's like, okay, I thought Mass was going to start like 20 minutes, but there's nobody there. I sit down, and I'm just kind of sitting there in the dark church. I mean, no lights are on. The light is coming through the windows. And I'm just sitting there, and this beautiful woman walks up to me. And she genuflects, and she sits next to me. So I scoot over a little bit because I was sitting at the end of this pew. And she says, do you want to pray the rosary? And I said, yeah, sure. I mean, I was just mesmerized by her beauty, you know. And she really was. She was as real as you and real as the person sitting next to you. This is a real human being. And she says, do you want to pray the rosary? So I'm thinking the whole time I'm praying the rosary, like, what's my line going to be? You know, because at the end of this rosary, I need to say something very nice to this beautiful girl. And I couldn't come up with anything. So I just, at the end of the rosary, we knelt for the rosary and we stood up and I extended my hand. I said, I'm Mike. And she never told me her name, but she looked me in the eye and she said, you know you're supposed to be a priest, right? And then she genuflected and walked out. And this is how slow I am. I mean, I didn't put this together that was Mary for a couple of years. But now I look back and I think that had to have been the Blessed Mother. It had to have been her. And I believe it with all my heart that it was Mary. And that she was directing me to where I... And so I didn't go to Bardstown. I went back to the seminary.
That is the coolest story I've ever heard. And I really wanted you to share that. And I'm so glad that you did. Gordon, I know you want to ask some more questions of Father Mike.
Well, you centered that last question about Mary on a trip away from St. Meinrad. But you must have some other funny stories that happened there while you were in seminary.
Oh yeah, we had lots of good times. I mean, we were, that was the neat thing. There were 17 of us when I first got there in first philosophy, and then that was kind of our core group. The whole 6 years, and yeah, we did lots of funny stuff. We did lots of dumb stuff. I mean, I just remember it was always so cool when it snowed, because it was there's such a beautiful hill right there. So one time we went into the kitchen and we found some of those metal trays, real big ones. We weren't supposed to use them, but we did. Hey, I was saying this on the radio. We went down we used those babies to go down those hills. It was awesome. We would go, then we got in trouble by a monk, and what can you do? But we did lots of fun stuff. I mean, we play lots of games together, lots, you know, basketball, and there's a pond there. We go swimming. We do triathlons. We just did lots of going to the movies, going bowling, going, you know, it was kind of a joke for, like, There's not anything really right there at St. Mindus. So if you wanted a fun Saturday night, you went to Walmart or something, you know, in Del City or Jasper, which were both a half hour away. So we do those trips together. And yeah, just lots of good times.
Good. Well, tell us what the number one go-to saint and prayer that you have, Father.
Oh, my gosh. It's a Blessed Mother. I go to her before anybody else. And just ask her to wrap her mantle around whatever situation, whatever person is going through something. Maybe I'm meeting with a young man struggling with discernment. Ask Our Lady to wrap her mantle there, or around myself in my own ministry. I ask that every morning, you know, renewing my dedication, my consecration to Our Lady. I also go tons to St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri is my confirmation saint. I was thinking he found me. I didn't find him. Because I didn't know much about him when I picked him, but he renewed the church through joy and through piety, and I think those and that this missionary spirit and there's just so much of myself that I try to aspire to in looking to him. Saint John Vianney, I go to him all the time. I have a relic of him. I pray for him for his intercession all the time for our seminarians, our priests, our discerners, and then, of course, St. Joseph. Those are my big boys.
What can parents do to foster a vocation? Is there anything that parents can be doing to foster a vocation in their children?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one thing is you teach them friendship with Jesus. I mean, that is it. If people are close to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus will show the way, And if you're close with Jesus, then you can sense like, oh, he's tugging me that way because I'm close to him. I just feel that's where he's called. If you're not close to Jesus, you haven't got a clue. But Jesus is, so just teach your children friendship with Jesus and especially through the sacraments and through the life of the church, because when you've got friendship with Jesus, a vocation is heard and responded to generously. It's all natural.
We are just got a couple minutes left, and I want to get a couple questions in with you, Father Mike. Are there things that people in your parish can do or not do to make your job as a priest easier or more fulfilling?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think I'm blessed with so many good people. I really am. I think just prayer for your priest is so big. I think so many of my people here, they're not my people, but the people that I'm blessed to be around and shepherd, I'm always invited to people's houses constantly, and I've got about 20 names I just call it for some reason. I didn't have anything to do one night, which is rare. I could just, you know, they're always like, Father, come over more. Like, I think inviting our priests over and into our families makes a big difference, not just for the priest, but for the family too. Those are some things that come to my head. But definitely, more than anything, pray for your priest every day and pray for more priests every day.
Before we go, Father Mike, could you give our audience a blessing?
Of course. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. And thanks to anybody who's listening. And it's a joy to be a priest. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he make his countenance to fall upon you and give you peace. And may Almighty God bless you now and always. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father Mike, thanks so much for being our guest today. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You too.
We've been talking today to Father Michael Kuchar, pastor of St. Joseph Parish in Shelbyville, dean of the Batesville Deanery, and he's the vocations director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Thank you for joining us at Sons of Melchizedek.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.